This is the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, where we have conversations with everyday martial artists about their histories and how martial arts influence their daily lives. You are listening to the abbreviated version of this podcast, which is the first 20 minutes or so of the show. Please consider supporting the show by subscribing on our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/MALMAG. And for about the price of one coffee shop coffee per month, you can get access to 4 new podcasts each month, 1 week before their YouTube release dates. You also have access to all of our existing shows, which at this point is about 100 hours of shows for you to enjoy. Individual shows can be purchased at our Gumroad page. That is malmag.gumroad.com. In this episode, I connect again to another one of my Southern California compatriots. This is one of my fellow Inosanto Academy friends, Alex Peck. Alex's journey begins in California, but takes him to New York, and then back to California again. Alex talks about being an artist and how martial arts helps him with being a stay-home dad. Sit back and enjoy his story. Welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, and today I've been hounding this guest for a while to be on my show. Good friend that I met through the larger Inosanto family back in the days when he was actually traveling here quite a few times to attend instructor camps. And then lo and behold, I guess he thought it was a good place and decided to move here and become more of a permanent fixture at the Inosanto Academy. Welcome, Alex Peck.
Thanks, Tim. I'm excited we finally made this happen. I hope I live up to your expectations.
Oh, no, come on. We have such a good time with our conversations in class that I think this will just be a fun interview to do. And just because, I mean, these podcasts, like I said, are about the actual people that are the guests. So it's about kind of your history and getting into martial arts and how it all relates to your life and such. And, you know, first of all, I want to say, you know, everybody, Alex gets up on Saturday morning and comes a bit of a way to kind of help out with the kids class, which is kind of like herding cats in a way. And I've never seen a better cat herder than you and Glenn.
Good cop, bad cop type
situation.
Yeah,
right. And Dan Forsey in there as well. Someone we need to get on here as well. But you guys do a marvelous job of really helping out with that class. So I just want to express my appreciation there before we go too much further. And I guess let's just jump into it. You know, how and when did you get involved in martial arts?
So I feel like I've been at least indirectly involved in martial arts most of my life. You know, I would have to take Taekwondo lessons when I was, when I was a kid, just as part of, like, you know, a lot of Korean Americans or a lot of Korean immigrants, they send their kids to like Korean school on the weekends. So I would have to go for several hours on Saturdays, and you take language classes, and then usually you have to take, like, you know, other classes in there. So you're not just studying language all the time. So I would do Taekwondo stuff there. I did Tang Sudo when I was probably like middle school to high school. So maybe for about 6 years at this little school by next to my dad's store. And I got my black belt in that, but I don't remember any of the forms. So I'm a terrible Tang Sudo representative. But I remember that's also when I first encountered the Tao Jeet Kune Do. And I still have that copy because, you know, it has all these, it's a little embarrassing to look at now because there's all these like notes in there from what a middle school / high school student thought was quite profound, you know, at that time. So I still have that. And I remember just, you know, I would always, you know, me and my sister and my brother, we were latchkey kids, so we'd always be watching like Bruce Lee movies over and over again. And I just remembered really, really being impressed by just the idea of Jeet Kune Do. It felt very freeing. It felt like, you know, very, very different than kind of a more traditional martial arts system like Tang Soo Do. Although even though my teacher was pretty he was pretty like kind of reality based. I think we would have to spar a lot as well in his class. So then I kind of took a break during college, just because I moved away for college, and through grad school as well. And then when I moved to New York in 2010, I remember I just Googled like Jeet Kune Do, New York City, or something generic like that, and Anderson's martial arts popped up. And I like to think it's luck, but obviously there's lots of work that goes behind the scenes to make sure your name pops up first on Google and all
Right.
that stuff. So they did a good job with that.
Yeah, I
And
guess it's something you Google something generic and you got a very ungeneric person. That's cool.
And so I did a trial there and I was just hooked. And I trained there for 10 years under Sifu Dean Anderson. And that's how he was one of Terry Gibson's students. So he was connected to the Inosanto family.
Okay, I did. That's really cool.
So that's how I got connected to a guru. He would come out every year for a seminar, and then eventually I became an instructor under guru. So then that's how I met you and some of the Inosanto folks, when I would come out for the instructor camps. And then in 2020 we moved to LA, so now I'm really excited to be like a direct student under Guru for this next phase of his life.
That's cool. God, it's been 2020. Wow. That's seems like not so long ago, so long ago. At the time, it's one of those weird, yin yang things where it feels like, you've been here not that long, but you're like an old soul fixture to the school as well. I think a part of that is probably just because of you coming out for instructor camps and stuff as well. So it seems like you've kind of been there as a presence longer than 2020, realistically. So where did you grow up then? So you said you moved to New York. So where were you grew up?
Well, actually, my childhood was in Southern California, but I grew up in a suburb of Philadelphia.
Oh,
So
okay.
we moved there when I was in fifth grade, and from fifth grade through grad school, I was in Pennsylvania. I went to Penn State for undergrad, then I went to University of Pennsylvania for a graduate school.
Wow. So what made you pick New York after that?
I'm an artist, so that's one of the big cities you would go to
Of
for
course.
that. But also it's kind of based on chance a little bit. My wife is a physician. So I don't know if you know how like the match process works, but like basically like
No.
you rank, it's really quite strange. Like you rank like what schools you would like to be placed at, and then there's some sort of computer program that just like matches everybody and it tells you where you're going to go. And you can decline it, but you kind of don't really have a choice in the matter of where you end
Sounds
up going.
like military.
Basically, so I mean we had some control in which in terms of like my wife could only pick New York places or Philly places or whatever, but I think she applied to a smattering of major cities, and that's where we ended up going for her.
That's kind of cool. That is really pretty cool. I didn't know that. And it's funny how many doctors I actually know, and I have no idea. I know some of them, well, like Lee and Beth from the Academy too. It's like, how do these folks get, moved around from places like Omaha to LA? And it's like, huh. I figure it's just like the usual job hunting process. You're kind of looking around, you field an offer, and you're like, oh yeah, okay, that sounds good. And there you go. I had no idea it was some sort of computer network and that. That's really pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's really it's yeah, I don't know. It seems like a bad system, but maybe I just don't know about enough about it.
Well, yeah, it feels like because it feels like you're kind of like you said, you have some choice but not a lot, and that can be very I think unnerving to people. It'd be unnerving to me. I know personally, I that would drive me nuts. I would feel I don't know, I guess manipulated, enslaved or something to that effect, but it's also not the field that I went into. So, that I think there's a point in time when I mean, I got into film and TV. So, yeah, where do you go for that? Well, LA, New York. So it's, I guess, sort of the same thing. I'm just imposing it on myself in that manner. But this was sort of the place I wanted to be anyway. Born out here myself, didn't grow up here, but I wanted to come back. So easy choice.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty interesting. So Philadelphia is kind of a rough town from the few people I know, known from there.
I mean, it's not really. I mean, just you're just not, if you're just not stupid, it's fine. I never encountered anything. I never encountered anything in my time there, really.
Yeah, like in what?
Yeah. It's like you like any major city, you know. Just don't be
Exactly.
clueless and you're fine.
Don't walk down to particular parts of town running your mouth.
Yeah, I mean most people honestly in you know most major cities I've been in, they just you know just want to just like live their lives and be left
Of
alone.
course.
So as long as
Right.
you're not bothering people, you're fine.
Well, it's like anything else. You know, the dramatic stuff gets the press coverage, and if that's what's being covered all the time, you tend to think that it's more probably prevalent than it is. Just because that sells the, well, I guess I'm going to say sells the issues, but nobody buys hard copies anymore. It gets the clicks
Right.
these days.
It's drives engagement. Is that the new way to say that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, exactly. So, curious about Korean school, because that's obviously not a experience I've had. So you said you learned language, right? And then what, and you learned some taekwondo, so that would be like I guess a cultural physical art. What else do you learn in Korean school?
Well, I was a bad student. I mean, going back to your comments on Philadelphia, I remember me and my friend, this was just at some random church in like West Philadelphia. And me and my friend, we would hop the fence and just wander West Philly by ourselves most of the day, which was
You
not a
skip
smart idea looking back. But yeah, but usually it's, yeah, you have to do a couple hours of like language class. That's really the main focus. And then, you know, usually they'll break it up with some sort of like quote unquote elective, like taekwondo or something like that. But yeah, Koreans love sending their kids to after school.
Well, I think any culture loves to do that. It's called get them off of our hands so we can
Yes.
work. Or, I mean, because you said latchkey kids. I mean, I was the same thing. So it's like, you know, the idea there is that parents are just trying to figure out what do I do with these kids in this gap of time between when school gets out, which is, you know, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They don't finish working for another 2 to 3 hours. So
Right.
what do we do with them in this period of time? And, I mean, you found one of the better babysitters, which is, you know, television. Same thing with me. Bruce Lee and Bugs Bunny, you know, were my
Yeah.
babysitter, Hogan's Heroes,
Yeah.
Gilligan's Island, all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I guess I'll pursue some of the Gru Dan questions with you. So you answered the question, have you done Korean martial arts? Because I think he tends to ask that of every person who comes in of almost any ethnicity. You know, have you seen X martial art from your cultural background? So you've done two of them, Tangsudo, Taekwondo. So what were those? Can you compare your experience in those compared to, because you said you found JKD very freeing, or we could say liberating, I guess if we want to use Bruce Lee's word. So what was that difference like? What, why were you more attracted, I guess, to, because some people are attracted to a structure. They like that. So there's, you know, nothing wrong with that because it does appeal to people and it helps them. But you found that you desire this more freedom kind of thing. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, for me, I mean, I think, I mean, I guess I could be called a creative person, since I'm an artist.
Right,
So
yeah.
I think I'm probably attracted to that. And I kind of have like a natural, skepticism or hatred of authority. So that could also be a factor
Like
in like,
free in school and going and walking the streets of
yeah,
Philadelphia.
like not wanting to, you know, be told that there's only one way to do things. So I think it's a good personality fit. I mean, I did like I do I did enjoy like learning the forms and stuff, and like I said, like my Tangsudo teacher, he was a pretty good mix, I think, of like still trying to do like the very tradition, you learn the sets, and there's like these sort of like kind of like shorter forms too that I don't remember them, but like I remember the idea of them. It was like little scenarios essentially, like somebody punches you or attacks you a certain way and you respond, and we would do those sorts of drills, and then he'd also do like pretty light sparring, which I think, I mean, I don't know, but I think that was a little different when I was studying, versus like the like other Tumsudo schools. So I think that, yeah, I don't know, I just it's I really like being at Guru's, because he really stresses the creativity of it, and he wants you to create it, and he wants to give you a structure, and then you can sort of find out stuff and create on your own and play and learn through that. And so I think that's really liberating, like you said. And I don't know. And it's interesting to, it really, I don't know, it really changes your mindset too, because I mean, I don't really want to talk too much about JKD politics, but it's like
Don't
there's
have
so much of it is like literally the antithesis of what JKD is supposed to be. But like, I mean, I think it's like useful. I think it's like interesting as like I mean, I taught a little bit when I was at Anderson's, and I teach every once in a while out here, and I know you teach, obviously. It's really interesting to see Guru just be like, oh, like yeah, you could do it that way, you could do it that way. And I don't think he's being like, I don't think he's being like glib. I think he really means it, and that's really challenging, I feel like, as a teacher, because you want to teach your, it's, and it's always like trying to put two opposite ends of a magnet together. Or is it similar polarities? But you know what I mean? Like where they can never quite touch. It's like, well, like I have to give them this, I have to give my students this structure and show them some things, but how can I do that? But also like give them freedom to like create out of there, and there's always this like really interesting balance. So I think, I know I kind of went off the subject a little
No,
bit. But
no such thing.
yeah, that was one of the that's one of the things I really enjoyed about being a being under the Inosanto lineage or a student of Guru now. I do remember one thing really, really clearly from my Tangsudo days, was the point sparring. Like, I remember being at some local tournament, and they have like a form section and they have like a point sparring section. And I just remember being so upset because I lost my match because somebody just like stuck his hand out there and touched me on the head. And it was not like a, it wouldn't have been like a real thing. And just the strategy of that, like, cause we would spar at our school. So I was still coming from the strategy of like sparring and like being like, okay, well, that was like a terrible trade for my end, cause I touched your hand and you like sidekicked me full force in the chest, so I remember that being, I remember that is was like a really like frustrating moment for me, and being just showing me the limitations of that structure. And I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's specifically a thing about Guru. I think just like martial arts has evolved so much now. I mean, I guess that's what Bruce Lee was pointing at when he started Jeet Kune Do. But being able to test things with resistance, I mean, you don't have to like fight all out, but like have some sort of like chaos. There needs to be some sort of chaos of fighting in order for anything to anything in order to be able to test anything out. I think that's a really like big difference from I think the sort of traditional martial arts that sort of like I was growing up with.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, I think you and I had a very similar experience in the point tournament area. And I think what you're describing is something that suddenly became a popular technique. Jump up in the air and tag the guy on top of the head, because it's almost easy as pie to pull off. It's almost like shooting a free throw in basketball, right? And I remember my friend that got me into karate at the time. We were in this tournament and he won the whole thing. Got his third point by jumping up the air and popping the guy on the head. We walked away and he was just shaking his head. And I'm like, dude, you won it. And he's like, yeah, on the biggest bullshit move I've ever seen in my life. And he said, I saw it somewhere. And he goes, and I was just fucking around to see if this would be something that actually would go. And here we are, two 13-year-old kids talking about, I think I'd break my hand if I actually did that to somebody. So we came up with some insight on it. But, it's funny how, like you said, the things that you think are so profound when you're 12, 13, right? Those are the seeds, I think. You come up with whatever you think is profound, but if you keep thinking about it, it's the seeds of critical thinking, really. I hope. But and that's where, we started to question things. Not that, fortunately, both he and I were involved in a karate school that also did PKA kickboxing. So there was a lot of actual, well, let's get out here and now let's try it with contact. No one in the actual kickboxing class ever tried to jump up and tag you on the top of the head because, yeah, you'd get sidekicked right out the door with that. But yeah, in the point arena, it worked fine because you're playing tag. So it is, it's an exploration of do you want to go farther in your critical thinking of this and go, well, which of these things is actually working? And that's a twofold answer. Well, clearly me jumping up in the air and tagging on top of the head works for a point tournament situation if my goal is to tag you and get a point and win a trophy. Perfect. Okay. That's not wrong. That's just what that is. But if I'm in the dark alley that I don't know, why do so many people walk down dark alleys if that's the scenario we use? I've never walked down a goddamn dark. Well, I take that. Got an alley behind my house, and I do walk down it at night when I come home. But it's not exactly something I'm going to do in the dark alley. If someone jumps out at me, I'm not going to jump up in the air and backfist him on the top of the head. I hope that that's pretty evident, and it was evident earlier, but I don't know. Certainly now, with my experience, not something I would do. And I'd come to that realization a long time ago. So, yeah, it's a very interesting, large world out there, martial arts, and it's kind of like, what are you looking for? So, for you, what were you looking for when you got into martial arts? It sounds like your parents kind of put you in it initially.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just something that was like physical and also part of my culture or whatever. So I was kind of put into it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just like many, I guess, yeah, like many kids in the 80s, 70s, 80s, maybe 90s, like it was like Bruce Lee, and that was it in terms of like Asian men heroes, male Asian, like kind of like role models. So, I mean, it was just like, it's like, God, he's so awesome, like.
And this concludes the abbreviated version of the podcast. Please consider supporting the program by going to www.patreon.com/MALMAG and subscribing to the show. You can also purchase this individual episode or any individual episode at our Gumroad page. That's MALMAG.gumroad.com. Thank you for listening to this episode with Alex Peck. Coming up next week, I get on Zoom and I connect to the Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, and I talk to one of my oldest Hartzell friends, John Gentile. Our Malmag online store at martialartslifestylemagazine.com has a full selection of Timmy B's brand sticks for FMA and Krabiker Bong. Timmy B's brand now selling in Japan as well. Beautiful Timmy B's brand shirts and Dos Manos shirts are available with new t-shirt designs and more products coming soon. An online course in the Dos Manos method for FMA is available under the courses tab. More courses coming soon.
Check out the Places to Train tab to find schools near you, and click on the events calendar page to see what seminars and events are happening all around the world. And of course, visit our main page for articles on the martial arts. Music by Jack L. Relic. Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine and the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast are trademarked and copyrighted by TNT LLC.